I believe that up to us that claim to be children of God to share the Word of God with people. And to do that, we have to have salt in ourselves. That's what I'd like to talk about today. By the Lord's help, I believe the first chapter we'll start in is in the book of Matthew, the 5th chapter, in the 13th verse. Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost his savour, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and trodden, and to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. I know that we have heard these scriptures read to us many times, and it may seem dull to you somewhat, but I find it very necessary today that each and every one of us that claim to be the Lord's, that we have salt in ourselves. It's not something that I put in there. It's not something I'm naturally born with, something that I just have an abundance of, but it's something that comes from God. It is something of His grace. It is a connection with Him. It is having a relationship with the Lord that enables me to live the life that He's requiring of me. And I think this morning that each and every one of us need to be resalted at different periods of time, that we each have to have this spiciness in us, this flavor, that because the world is in such a need of it. The song these girls sing, "People Need the Lord," is very true. And we're called to be examples to a world that is dying. Our culture, a lot of the things that we have stood for and held precious is at stake. And it requires us all to have salt in ourselves to keep this preserved. And may the Lord bless us today. The book of Isaiah, I would like to read here and pick up a thought in about the 57th chapter of Isaiah and the 14th and 15th verse. Isaiah 57 and 14. And shall say, I'm going to pick up a thought kind of right in the middle of it, but I'd just like to get to the meat of this. Cast ye up, prepare the way, take up the stumbling block out of the way of my people. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. I'm thinking this morning of keeping the highway clear. I'm thinking this morning it's going to take something for us to keep the highway clear, to keep things, obstructions out of the way, to keep things removed where it's easily traveled and things are not a stumbling block. I really believe that we're setting the stage for our children, for our grandchildren. They're coming behind us. And what lack of salt that we had in our life is going to affect our children and grandchildren. If we didn't have something and our life was lacking, and Lord help us, I've had to ask forgiveness, and you probably will too before you leave this world, for not doing things as best as you could with your children. But I want to tell you that salt will help us to keep the lines and communication and keep the roadway clear. There's nothing like traveling a road that's all full of potholes. And, you know, Oklahoma is almost the birthplace of potholes, it seemed like. We've got so many around here, but there are things that we don't have to leave behind and leave to our children. And having salt in ourselves is going to help us so much. I see so many things passed on down to children, and so many things that are left undone. And I believe the book of Hebrews tells us that we should be people that have a... Well, let me just look here and read this to us so I don't miss any of this. The 12th chapter of Hebrews in the 12th verse, it says this, "Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed." I think this salt is a good healing for our families. It's a good healing for congregations. It's a good healing for the world in general. And having forgiveness and having love toward one another, it goes a long ways. It goes a long ways. And the Lord wants to help us. He said, "Let that which is lame lift up the hands which hang down the feeble knees." You think of someone that is infirm when you think of that, feeble knees and all. But you know, these little children coming along, they're not developed yet. They can't take the bumps and bruises sometimes as older people can. And he said, lift them up. And those hands that hang down and feeble knees, it can go both ways. Someone that's just a little bit fragile. Do you know there's fragile people among us? There's people that are very fragile. And they need help. They need something to keep them going. And it's our job. If we don't have that salt in us, what are we going to do? We're going to see those that are lame and infirm and people that are weakened be turned out of the way. Those stumbling blocks we read about just a moment ago, without those stumbling blocks removed, we're going to find ourselves damaging the future generation. And I tell you, I long to see God's people and the church of God prosper and progress. Without salt, it can't be that way. Without that ability to go the second mile, we can't really be the people that we should be. Going the second mile, I'll tell you, I've learned some things. It's not only up to us to be right. You know, I believe God wants us to be right and correct. But then there's a part about that I found that going the second mile, even when you're right, it takes salt. It takes a lot of salt, let me tell you. We need to be so careful. Going back that second mile and even asking for forgiveness, really when the person that done the harm and damage is the one that needs to be asking, but they never will. And it's up to us in keeping peace and keeping harmony. It's having that salt that keeps us together today. There's so many broken relationships and so many things going south and going to all different directions and fragmenting, going apart. It's because we have our ego in the way so many times. And there's pride. And when you have pride and someone with an ego and there's this puffed up feeling that I'm somebody and that I've done all these things, watch out. Salt somewhere has slipped out. And he said, if we lose this salt, we're not any better but just to be thrown out on the road and trodden underfoot of men. The thing that distinguishes and keeps the people of God close to him is this salt. And we need this desperately today. I think about our part in keeping harmony, our part in seeing the work of God go forth is having this salt in us. Now, we can actually, and I've watched this happen in homes, and I've seen this different times, that someone gets, I'm not thinking about anyone here, but visiting with different people of different backgrounds. I've seen this happen where you get a feeble person, maybe a mother, and she has a love for her children, and they'll call up and say, "Mom, I need a dollar. I need $100. I'm over here. My car's broke down." And it's a natural thing for a mother to want to take care of her children. That's a natural desire. But all of a sudden, when you get to putting, you stop and think, how many times has this $100 come up? Yes. How many times have they been dependent on me? And what happens is I'm actually enabling that person to live the lifestyle that they're living. And somehow my money that I've worked hard, or it came hard to me, I am giving it to them, and I'm enabling that person to buy drugs, and I'm enabling them to go on with a lifestyle that I'm just not, I don't live that way, and I don't do those things. But by me contributing to their weakness, and oh, please help me, I'm enabling them. Now I'm getting to a point this morning. If we don't have the salt in ourselves, and if we don't have that closeness to God and a connection, we can actually cause, I believe, people to do things that are not godly. By us not having that salt in ourselves. Have you heard the expression, what parents do in moderation, children will do in excess? When we see conditions existing around the church and people are going this way and they're going that way, they're flying different directions, and some are boldly doing things, and I think, wait a minute. By my lack of salt in my own personal life, and I take this personally, I do, and it hurts me when I see conditions and people go different directions. What did I do to enable them to do that? Now, that might be a little different what you heard, but I am saying to us, we are our brother's keeper. If we lack salt, if we lack that closeness with God, we can actually enable people. We can actually put them in a place where they feel justified in doing what they're doing, and somehow we lose a little bit of control. We see it, and the first thing we want to do is start going out and putting out fires. Let's put this fire out over here. Oh, that's what we need to do. Rush over here and put a fire out here. Oh, here's another one pop up. You know what we really need, and I believe it with all my heart, is we need to have salt in ourselves. There is a drawing power when people have a warmth and a love and a fervency for God. It attracts people. It causes them to want to come. They want to be a part of that. They want to be close to that. But when there's an emptiness and a shallowness, it causes people to want to do other things. They want to go and do other and try other things and experiment. Folks, if we don't have this salt in ourselves, if we don't have something close and fervent with God, we can actually make people go away from us. They can be turned away. And we're enabling them by our lack of this salt in ourselves. May the Lord help us. He told us here for us to cast up. Cast up. Get rid of the stumbling blocks and the things that cause people to fall. Get rid of them. How do you like falling over things? I don't care too much to do that. I got up the other night, I heard over a year ago, an old skunk kept coming up on the porch and causing trouble, and I got up and I had my gun, and here someone, it might have been my own, but there were shoes on the floor, and I stumbled over those things. Oh, that hurt. You know, in the middle of the night, you get woke up, and I tell you, just as he was going over the side of the porch, I shot and missed. And oh, it would have been good if I'd have hit him, and then my toe wouldn't have felt so bad. But those stumbling blocks, things that we leave out, listen, in the darkness, you can't see them. And they hurt us. They hurt us. When it's light and when there's things exposing those, it's time to keep the pathway clear. But when we leave those things down and we don't pick them up and take care of them, it takes salt to do that. It's what I'm telling you. Dealing with difficult situations and problems and things, it's better for us to pick them up and take care of them. And just letting things fester and grow and get bigger and bigger and bigger. And pretty soon, there's a separation with people. Oh, I have found that so many times. Broken relationships and things stem from pride.
I want my way. I want my way or else. Where is the salt? Brother Egbert Allen preached about these two billy goats one time, a little story, and he said they met on the side of a mountain, and it was a little narrow path, and some of you might remember his message, but when they met on that path, they kind of butted heads, and they saw only one of them might survive, both of them might die, and one of them said, I tell you, I'll just kneel down and let you walk on top of me, Billy. You can go your way, and I'll go mine. Somebody had to kneel down, but you let two people that strong-willed and have strong personalities clash together and they hit together and they bump. Where is the salt? Where is the salt there? There's nothing there. That's just carnal. That's just old carnality poking up and showing its ugly head. And I'll tell you this morning, if I believe anything we need today, it's having that salt in us. Somebody has to be willing to let that other party ride over us. Someone has to be willing to step up and say, I'll take the brunt of this. I'll take the brunt of it. And you can't even say that. You can't even say that. You better be hid behind the cross and just do it without somebody telling you to do it, without acknowledgement and people knowing that you've done this. I want you all to know that I was the one that laid down on that mountainside, and it was such a steep hill down there, but I want you to know how brave I was. And I laid down, and old Billy put those marks on my back, and that's why I'm limping today, and that's why I've got problems today. It's because old Billy stepped on me, and I want you all to know that. What glory is that?
Yes, amen.
I'd rather have the Lord come by and bless my soul and say, you just keep quiet and I'll give me the credit for it, and I'll be the one that gets glorified. And you just keep yourself out of here. You just keep yourself hid. That's what it means to be hid behind the cross. Is to let the Lord get the glory.
Yes.
Give God the glory. That is salt. To me, that is salt. It's what we need to keep us going. If we lose that, if we don't have that within us, in our midst, and we don't have this, he said, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted. If we lose that today, we're in trouble. That is the salt. Removing stumbling blocks and getting things out of the way. It's so necessary when you have a gospel work, when you try to work with people. I've watched people different times, and some of the men that... And I don't mean to just talk about some of these men in jail, but they watch you for a long time. I've watched them, and they watch me, and they'll ask me questions. A couple of them teamed up the other day and had a question for me. And I was watching. They wanted to see my response. And they waited several months to do it. They want to see what you have.
Amen.
People don't just trust everybody. They've been hurt so bad. And if they see a little bit of something fake in us, and something of a put-on, and something of a little air of this superiority or air spirituality, it can take away from our real message we're wanting to get to them. We're in a world that's hurting. A world, and I believe Brother Leslie made a comment one time, the world at its worst needs a church at its best, and I believe that this morning. I believe that we need to be at our best. How are we going to get this salt? It's going to take keeping close to God. It's a serious thing. If I run out, I'm going to be stepped on. I'm worthless. I'm worthless. Cast me out. I'm nothing. If we lose that in our families, we've lost valuable means of keeping us together in the next generation. If we lose it in the church, folks, we have nothing but a name.
Yes, that's right.
We need the Lord this morning so badly. We need Him. And making straight paths for our feet. Straight paths for our feet. I think about how my mother shielded me from so many things, and I didn't realize it till she died, and my father died just recently, and I do want to thank you all. I'm sorry I haven't said something, but for all the prayers, flowers, your presence and everything, the cards and encouraging things you've done, it's such a blessing, and I appreciate everything. While digging through some of my parents' things, I came upon a court document. It happened in 1982, and my grandfather died, and there was a legal dispute between the children. And one of the four thought that everything should go to them. And 5 days before my grandfather died, everything was taken out of his account, $56,000. That's all put over here in one of the sisters. He loved me more than he loved you all. This was one of the statements. And I read that and I thought, how could my mother, being the executrix of the will, how could she have gone through that? And how could she have maintained the grace of God and sent my aunt every birthday for several years, little cards, I love you, praying for you. You know what it takes? It takes salt.
Yes.
And how could she face... I marveled at that. Mama kept that hidden. I didn't see that. But now that I see it, I think here's what preserved her. It was salt. Those stumbling blocks, she could have said, children, I want you to know what happened over here. And I want you to know what they done. I want you to see how ugly this was. I want you to understand, here's what kind of people they are. She never done that. Mama never done that. She kept that all quiet. She kept it to herself. I'm telling you that today because I feel like without salt, problems are going to multiply. We're going to want somebody to be on our side also. And we have to be very careful because I've noticed sometimes the Bible said, he that's first in his cause, he seemeth just. But after a while, you have to weigh the spirits and you have to see really what happened here. You have to see what goes on. Be careful. Dealing with problems and difficult situations, you know what we need? It's not the wisdom that is in here that's from below, but we need the wisdom that is from above that is what? It's first pure, and it's peaceable, and it's gentle, and it's easy to be entreated. It's full of mercy and good fruits. It's without partiality, and it's without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. That's what we need. And to me, that boils down to salt. It boils down to what we need today to keep us going. It's the fuel for the church. It's going to help us to keep going forward in difficult times. And it's that salt. We deal with difficult situations, folks, and we all do. Here's what we have to have is the basic ingredient is salt now. The wisdom is from above. That's what we need. It's first pure, peaceable. It's wonderful, dear ones. Today, when we think about all these things, this is what the Lord wants in His people. This is what He has designed to be in His church, is salt. Egos go they come and go. And Lord, help most of them to be gone in our lives. Because they cause us so much trouble. An overinflated ego is a difficult thing. But salt will bring it all down to level. We need to be seasoned. The Scripture teaches us, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man that asketh a reason of the hope within you. Having salt in ourselves. I find there's difficult places. Last week there was a call to go on with the sheriff's office, and I went to a call where a mother had died. Her husband left just for a little while and come home. She was having some troubles, but she was gone. And it was not a very sanitary condition. It was not very clean. But there's people in those places that are hurting.
Yes.
Somebody needs to say something. And I want to tell you, you're looking at one of the persons. I draw blanks sometimes. Now, Lord, what do I say? Please, Lord, give me something to say. That's my prayer. I can repeat that story over and over and over again. How many places? And it's not all that. Death is just not the only place we need salt. I've mentioned to you, we need comfort. We need help to know how to deal with all kinds of problems. All kinds of difficult things. Getting along. Our future is determined. It's based on this. Our future and what we look for, are looking out, is based on having salt. We need this so much. Without it, again, we perish. Keep the highway clean. It'll help us to keep stumbling blocks to a minimum. And there are some things that I have found out that I cannot change. I can't change them. You can't change them either. A pastor come by one time preaching a message to us, and he said, when you run up against an old stump, don't let the stump keep you from going forward. You plow around it. And I thought, boy, there's part of me that says, let's get down there and dig that thing up. I want to dig it up. But there's some things I'm convinced it'll take more energy and effort, and it'll discourage you to try to get those old stumps out of the way. There's sometimes people are so set in their ways, you'll waste your time trying to change them. The best thing we can do is to keep plowing, keep a humble heart. He said, I'll dwell with the contrite and the humble ones. We need to have the grace of God in our soul and keep on going. Keep going. Put distance between yourselves and some of those things that we've been trying to change. We've been trying to do this and that. Sometimes we have to put a distance between them. It's not profitable. Just keep butting up. A lot of it gets, and the Lord's trying to show us there's some stubbornness. There's some stubbornness there. We've just got to have, you know, type A personality people, I love them. Hard driving, hard working, but sometimes you can see some of the perfectionist in people, and that perfectionist starts showing me it's got to be this way, and they see sometimes just like this, and it's my way, the highway. Lord, help us. You know, there's times that we need to be tolerant. Oh, what's the difference in that and compromise? There's a lot of difference, but we need to be very careful, because we can see things, begin to see things just our way. And we can begin to control people also. And I look for that sometimes. I think, well, wait a minute. I see a little bit of stubbornness here. And there's something there. It's their way or else. Well, wait a minute. What did it say about Jesus? He took on Him the form of a servant. He was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, He humbled Himself and He became obedient even unto death. That is the mind of Christ. And He said, let this mind be in you. Folks, there's sometimes, I know, we see things and we know it's just perfect. If you leave it alone, it's my way, it's perfect. Just don't bother it. But you know, I find we've got to get along with people. And having salt in ourselves will help us so much. It'll help us so much. May God bless us today. The 13th chapter of Hebrews, the first verse says this, let brotherly love continue. How's it going to happen? We're going to have some give and take. There is no engine that's on this parking lot that does not have tolerance in the engine. Every time you start your car, that engine has tolerance in it. If you had everything precision fit and everything was tight, that engine wouldn't even turn over.
But there is a go and a no-go part that they mic, and they put together that engine at the factory, and it has a tolerance in there. When there's a right lubrication, that engine will crank every time, and it runs. It'll go for 200,000 miles. But when you let everything get mic'd down, and you put everything so tight, you can't even crank it over. May that not be our case. We need to have some brotherly love. And that goes a long ways. God help us today. Having a little bit of deference, I believe in the 14th chapter of Romans, Paul had a little showing deference. He said here, the 13th verse says, "Let us not therefore judge one another any more, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way." Paul said also, he said, "If meat make my brother to offend, I'll eat none as long as the world stands." It takes salt to do that. A consideration, having deference. Deference is yielding some of our rights. It's being careful that we don't consider our brother. That takes salt. It does. Lord, help us. He said, stop the judging and putting stumbling blocks in front of your brother. Be careful. Oh, the Lord has so many things to share with us. I know I want to learn everything I can from God. Look with me in the book of Leviticus 11 and 45. of Leviticus, the Lord is saying something here, and I'll read it. "For I am the Lord that bringeth you up out of the land of Egypt to be your God. Ye shall therefore be holy, for I am holy." Holiness is a beautiful, wonderful thing. Holiness is despised by the world. But holiness is a beautiful thing. "Be ye holy, for I am holy." What does that cover? Everything in our life. The way we live, the way we dress, the way we act. Everything about us is that way. "Be ye holy, for I am holy." I believe when we have the love of God in our hearts, that and Christ is living there, there will be some definite marks of holiness in our life. And it's a beautiful thing. I'd like to read another scripture, 12 and 14 of Hebrews. Another scripture, I think, if anything, we need to encourage the saints with holiness. There's nothing wrong. There's nothing dirty about it. It's a beautiful thing. 12 and 14 of Hebrews says this, "Follow peace with all men, and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any of you, any man fail the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled." So important for us today. God said for us in the book of Leviticus to be holy, and here this backs it up again. Follow peace and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. We can't do this on our own. This is not something I can conjure up myself. I can set my own set of rules. I have to follow what God has laid out in His Word. I have to be a follower of Him. If we're to follow peace with all men, that's going to take something more than what I'm born with. It has to be something from above, because I don't naturally manifest those tendencies. Neither do you. It's not natural for us to love our enemies. It's not natural for us to bless them. It's not natural for us to forgive people that have hurt us deeply. That is something that comes from above. That is the salt that we need this morning. If we harbor any kind of a bit of unforgiveness or selfishness or whatever, those things catch up with us after a while. Unforgiveness catches up. Bitterness catches up. All of these things, you see, we can outrun some of them while we're young and think we can do them. But you know, after a while, they catch up with us. And we come back full circle. And those things will come back to us. If we don't take care of them now, they'll come back later. The Lord help us today. He said, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. In the book of 1 Peter 1 and 16, it basically says the same thing here. Because the 15th verse, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Holiness is from God. And God wants His people to live a holy life. That's what separates us. Sin is what separates us from God.
Yes.
Sin. Being holy is something that identifies us with God and His people. The book of 2 Peter, I'd like to read in this first chapter, in the third and fourth verse. According as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to virtue, to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. We are escapees this morning by the grace of God. By the grace of God, and with salt in our lives, we can escape the corruption that's in the world through lust. What do you do when you escape? I've read stories of men that have escaped in different wars from the prisons. What do? They get outside and they start yelling, hey, look at me, I'm out of your old prison. I climbed under the wall. They don't do that. In fact, I've heard of one story where there was a little hole, a little opening in one of the last wall they had to get through, and it was so small they had to pull one of the comrades through it. The skinniest one went in and he got a hold of one of the bigger ones, and one was pushing on the other side and one was pulling. And they had just a few moments to do that. When we're escapees, we don't have time to brag and boast. Look at me, what I've done. Look, I'm running. I'm running this morning. I don't have time really to fight with you even. Even if you wanted to fight, I really don't have time to fight. I don't have time to argue about who's have a turf war. You know, you hear about drug lords having to, hey, you're on my side here. Watch out, buddy. You'll get shot if you step over here. I'm going to mark the corner here. That's my spot. I don't have time to battle with you. No turf wars. No, I'm running. I'm an escapee. And I feel that many times the dot comes on me, the red dot. You know, they have a laser beam that you can put on a gun and you can point that laser at something, and when it gets, if you ever, hopefully none of you will ever see that. If you're out somewhere and somebody says stop, you better stop, because when that laser gets on you, they've got a bead drawn. I'm going to stop if some officer or something tells me, because I see that bead drawn and that's where a bullet's going to come real shortly. But if I feel that we are being drawn down on as the people of God, the enemy is putting his His bead on us, and we have to keep running. Now, He's one I'm not going to stop for. He'll stop just like He did with Nehemiah and said, just come down to the Valley of Ono just for a little while. We need to talk. And He said, I'm not going down there. Your valley, I ain't got time to mess with you. You guys are up to no good anyway. Oh, no, I'm not coming. I'm not going to Ono. Oh, no, I'm not going to Ono. I'm not going this morning. We don't have time. We have to keep busy. There has to be some activity. Otherwise, we're going to arm people. On the other hand, the people are watching us. If we don't have salt in ourselves, we're going to enable people to go astray. I see a real responsibility here. Sometimes we just think, oh, look at them people. Look what they've done. Look how far they've gone. They've done all these things. Look how wicked they are. They're just awful people. Look at them and look at me. Boy, I sure kept myself clean, haven't I? I tell you, sometimes I'm maybe a little different than you, but when I hear how exclusive the church is and things, and people have things so, and it looks so pretty and beautiful and all, and I think, whoa, wait a minute here. I need to sharpen up a little bit. I hope I haven't caused somebody by me being self-righteous to go astray over here. I hope I haven't caused someone to stumble because of something that I've done and I've left a problem for them to deal with. I hope I haven't done that. I'd love to hear messages about the church, but I want to tell you, for me, I think, Lord, help us. We don't get to where we think that we're just so exclusive and so self-righteous that we forget we've all the scars and all the trials and trails that people have left and the lives that's been laid down and the people that's been stepped on and the sacrifices and everything that people have given for this gospel to go forward, that I'm going to have to get a few of these bumps and knocks and bumps myself to make it into heaven. I'm trying to tell you this morning, without salt, we're in trouble today. Without it, self-righteousness pops up and things can happen. And I think, Lord, this ain't the way that it's designed. You don't want us to be that. We want Your glory, and You want to bless us, and You want to come down in our midst in such a wonderful way. Help us, Lord, to have this salt. Help us to have a connection with You and something that's real and not a put-on. Something that's dry. Something that's so dry. I don't like that. If I eat cornflakes, I want some milk on them. I want something I'll choke on them. Don't feed me those things. I'll choke on those old cornflakes. I want something that's from God, and it's real. It has salt in it. It's tasty. We need to be feeding the world. We need to be feeding them with something. Let's not drop our heads now, folks. This is something real. We need God to help us to feed this world. It's starving. It's languishing. People are eating so many things. I was in a service one time. There was nobody to go with me. There's no one. I had to go in by myself. And usually, I'm thankful we've got some good little team now. But there for a while, nobody would go in. Nobody would go into jail. And we got into a place that here was another preacher and myself. And you just try to be as courteous and work with people the best you can. I try not to be self-righteous. I try to be congenial and all, but he was started teaching about you sin more or less every day. And I was in a real, my soul was burning, and I was just really in a fix. And I said, I was there praying, Lord, I know You don't put me in these places like this just to taunt me. There's a reason You do that. And I was just trying to do the best and not show my frustration. But he finally just said, isn't that right, Brother Bell? And I said, boy, you have asked the wrong person that question today. I don't believe that at all. And I thought, oh my, That's not being very congenial. And boy, I've embarrassed him, and the whole, all them men's going to see that we're in disagreement. But I tell you, I just couldn't go along with that. I couldn't go along. I said, listen, when God saved me, I stopped doing those things that I did once before. I didn't go back and sample a little bit more of that stuff over here and do something. I stopped doing it. I quit. I didn't go back to that mess and keep doing that. That's what the grace of God, and that's what the salt is for, to preserve us and to keep us. You're the light of the world. What's the light do? It shines. You don't put it under a bushel. Stick it out and it shines. You tell people what God's done for you. You let them know this is, and it's not me. I couldn't have done it. I couldn't pull myself up. It has to be God. This morning, this is not about me. It's not about my accomplishments. It's not. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation to all that believes. This holiness can, if it begins to work in our lives, it'll just spread through. We'll treat people right. We'll treat people right. And I go out and Walmart, I can walk around. I don't care. Somebody comes and taps me on the shoulder. Ah! I don't have to be afraid. You understand that somebody comes sneaking up on me. Well, they've done that before. But it's not like, I'm afraid I really would get robbed someday. And I'd say, hey, put that thing down. And somebody would be really serious. I don't know, but I'm not afraid. What I'm telling you this morning, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper. If you hide and cover, you will not prosper. It's when we get things out in the open. It's when we clear. We can keep our head up. We can. I'm going to say something about my mother and father-in-law. One time, my father-in-law had been gone for a while on a trip, and Mom was anxiously waiting for him to come home. And this story just sticks to me so real. The children were watching for people to get off the bus. And if I get this right, she said, you'll know him because his head is up. He walks with his head up. You'll know him. You'll see him. And they say, oh, I think I see him. She said, does he have his head up? I said, no, that's not him. I want to tell you, when we have the love of God and we have God in our life, we can walk with our head up. Don't have to be afraid. Somebody coming by, everything is clear. It's all open. It's clean. That salt purifies. That salt gets down in the cracks. It gets and it cleans us. Salt preserves. It'll help us to be here next year. It'll help us to be a year after and on and on. Salt is a wonderful thing this morning. You go back and sample this food and you can tell in a little bit if they put any salt in it. You'll know it. Oh, if they did, there's this wonderful flavor comes out. If they didn't, who is the cook today? Who is the cook? What did they do wrong? They just left the salt out. Don't say any more. You just let, here's some salt. But have you ever tried to salt gravy after it's already been made? It just seemed like it doesn't do too good. But you have to put it in there while you're cooking it. The Lord has something today that He wants to blend in our lives. He wants to be a part of us. He wants us to work together. He wants us to live for Him. He wants to have... Mark says it all. He said, let me read this. I'll read in the book of Mark, I believe the 9th chapter. I failed to read that at first, but this just says it all. Verse 9 and 50 of Mark. Salt is good, but if the salt have lost its saltness, wherewith will you season it? Have salt in yourselves, and have peace one with another. This is so vital to us today. Having salt in yourselves and have peace one with another. Do we have conflicts today? Could it possibly be the conflicts we're having
And we're struggling with this and we're struggling with that, and things aren't working right and things aren't going the way we just wanted everything planned. Could it be possible that we're lacking just a little bit of this salt? Oh, I tell you, I can't go in detail, but I've been really challenged lately. And I've been asking the Lord, for the Lord to help me to have this salt in my life. This message doesn't come very easy, but I tell you, I've been digging and asking the Lord to help me. I want this salt in my life. I want to be close to God. I want to make heaven my home. And I believe everyone here today does. Folks, we just don't know the impact that this will have on us when we go out. Just this little group this morning, what impact it will have on us when we have this salt in us. It affects everybody that you work with, your neighbors. It's such a powerful thing. You might not think it's so powerful, but Sister Noreen Harmon would always whistle when she went outside to hang the clothes out. And I remember her testimony so clearly. Oh, she inspired me so much and still does. But she said she would go out at when she would hang her clothes on the line and she would whistle. And he didn't know what had done to the neighbor that was listening. But when they were going to move, her neighbor said, "You know, I'll always miss you coming out, hanging your clothes out on line, because I love to hear you whistle." Having salt in ourselves will do things, the common things of life, in an uncommon way. In an uncommon way. You think just putting gas in your car, I'm just going to put gas in my car. But do you know that there are so many ways that we can manifest the love of God to people and do things and help people wherever we go? Picking up a piece of trash. I tell you, it's unbelievable what salt can do for us. Just having that extra something in our life that goes the extra mile, that does the little extra things that are so touching. It's wonderful. If we lack it, we become dry. And again, I don't like cornflakes with no milk on them. Neither do you. How many of you sit there and just eat those things, you know, just a big mouthful of them and chew them? Somebody say hello to you. You don't like that. You don't like that. And neither do you like living a life without salt. It's just like that. It's dry and it's barren. And our life becomes boring. We're not finding anything to do. I look at people and just see the look in their eye just moving from one place to the other. Going here to there. Back and forth. You know, the Lord wants to put some spice in our life. You know what that requires? We're going to get out of the place that we were in. And we're going to get into difficult places. You might say, "I'd rather stay at home than get into that scrap. I didn't ask for that, Lord, and that thing hurt. I thought you wanted to be salt. I thought you wanted to shine for me." Yeah, but I sure do better at home whenever I can control things. At least I got a climate-controlled house, and out here, I'll tell you what, it's pretty rough and it's hot. A bunch of difficult people and all kinds of spirits that you deal with, and conniving and crooked and lustful and dirty and all that. I'd rather stay at home. Things sure get better at home. Yeah, but where are we going to shine? Where are we going to salt? What are we going to do? And you see, when there's a deficiency, it creates another offset. Isaac Newton's third law of motion states, for every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. Right? We learned that. I didn't till I was about 50 years old. I feel pretty popular, you know, to be able to quote that to you. I didn't know what he's talking about. But I'm going to tell you, whenever we don't have the salt in ourselves, it creates something just as negative on the other side. And that's my point this morning. If we lack this salt, we can create a turbulence. We can create something that backfires and causes people to go astray. And that's not what we want. That is not where we're at today. We don't want that. We want to be the people that God can smile upon. That's my heart's desire. That's my prayer. I know the Lord doesn't put every one of us in the same circumstance. He doesn't put every one of us, and you don't have to feel guilty. I'm not doing this and that. All I say this morning, let's shine where we're planted. Let's bloom where we're planted. Let's be the people God would have us to be. Let's have salt in ourselves. And I believe the Lord can use us. And I believe we still can have an influence in this world. Please pray for me. Thank you.